Ever feel like you're running on fumes? Like even after a good night's sleep, you're stuck at 10% battery.
Oh, I know that feeling.
We're diving into chronic fatigue today, and get this, we're exploring whether a surprisingly simple supplement might actually help. Creatine.
Creatine for fatigue. Okay, I'm intrigued.
Right. You usually hear about it for muscle building, but we're looking at three recent studies, and they suggest it might be doing a lot more than we thought. Specifically, its effects on fibromyalgia, long COVID, and ME/CFS, conditions where, let's face it, fatigue is a major roadblock.
And these weren't just asking people, hey, feel any different? We're talking objective measurements here, like what's happening in muscles, even in the brain.
Exactly. Because we know creatine helps muscles store energy, right? That's kind of its claim to fame. But what these studies wanted to see is if it could benefit people with chronic fatigue, where those energy systems might be seriously out of whack.
Makes sense. So walk me through the first study. What do they do?
All right, so this one was by Alves and their team, and they focused on fibromyalgia. They went with a pretty high dose of creatine, 20 grams a day to start, then 5 grams daily, and they kept that up for 16 weeks.
Wow, 16 weeks is a decent chunk of time. What'd they find?
So, get this, muscle strength improved significantly. We're talking almost a 10% increase in leg press power, and this was without any exercise program.
Hold on, seriously. Just the creatine alone led to that much improvement.
That's what they found. They measured it directly using muscle biopsies, too, so it's not just subjective reports. This is looking at what's happening at the cellular level.
Wow, okay, so for someone with fibromyalgia who might struggle with just the thought of hitting the gym, this could be a game changer.
Right. It suggests that for some people with fibromyalgia, the fatigue might stem from an actual impairment in muscle energy production, not just pain avoidance, which, if you think about it, opens up new treatment possibilities.
It does. But fibromyalgia is complex, right? I'm guessing creatine isn't a cure-all.
You're telling me. The study did find the impact on other fibromyalgia symptoms, like pain and sleep, was limited.
Which makes sense, because while energy metabolism is likely a factor, it's not the whole story.
Exactly. You've got pain processing, sleep disturbances, even psychological factors to consider. So creatine might be one piece of the puzzle, but definitely not the whole thing.
Okay, makes sense. So what about the second study? This one was on long COVID, right?
It was. This Slankamanac study used a lower dose of creatine, just 4 grams a day, but for a longer period, 6 months. And instead of biopsies, they used brain imaging called MRS to track creatine levels.
Okay, brain imaging. Now, this is where it gets interesting. What do they see?
So this is where it gets really wild. They saw increased creatine levels, not just in the muscles as expected, but also in the brain.
Wait, in the brain? Like creatine was showing up on brain scans.
Yep. Specifically in an area called the right parietal white matter, which in super simplified terms is like a major hub for processing sensory information, spatial awareness, and attention.
Which is interesting because, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people with long COVID experience that brain fog, right? Like difficulty concentrating, memory problems.
Exactly. And get this, participants in the study reported feeling less fatigued, they had fewer body aches, and some even noticed improvements in their thinking abilities.
So, hold on. Are we saying creatine could be helping to clear brain fog by boosting energy production in the brain?
It's definitely a possibility, and it really opens up this whole other avenue of research into how creatine might be affecting not just our muscles, but also brain function, particularly in conditions like long COVID, where fatigue and cognitive issues are so prominent. Which brings us to study number three, this one on ME/CFS.
Right, lay it on me. What did they find in the ME/CFS folks?
So, like the long COVID study, this one was also smaller, what they call a feasibility study. They used a higher dose of creatine again, 16 grams per day for 6 weeks. And they also used MRS to look at brain changes.
Did they see that same increase in brain creatine?
They did, primarily in areas of the brain related to emotional regulation and decision making, which, if you know about ME/CFS, makes a lot of sense.
It does, because those are functions that are often affected in ME/CFS. So both the long COVID and the ME/CFS studies are pointing to creatine potentially impacting the brain, just in slightly different ways, it seems.
That's exactly what it looks like. And the ME/CFS study did show some positive results. Participants reported less fatigue overall, faster reaction times on those cognitive tests, even better hand grip strength.
So there's some consistent improvements there, but I'm guessing, like with most things, it's not that straightforward.
You know it. Here's the thing, the improvements in fatigue didn't directly correlate with that increase in brain creatine.
Interesting. So there's a connection, but it's not a simple case of more creatine in the brain equals less fatigue. There's more going on.
way more going on, which again makes sense given how complex ME/CFS is. But it's still promising that even with that complexity, there are potential ways to address the fatigue.
I agree. Okay, so we've got creatine potentially boosting energy in both muscles and the brain. But how is it actually working, especially in the brain? Like, what's the science behind it?
Well, think of it this way. Creatine plays a crucial role in how our cells, including those in our brain, produce energy. It helps regenerate ATP, which is like the energy currency of our cells.
Right, ATP, kind of like those little energy bars our cells are constantly snacking on to keep everything running.
Exactly. And the brain, let's be honest, is a total energy hog, constantly firing neurons, processing information, you name it. So making sure it has a steady supply of ATP is absolutely essential for it to function properly.
Which is probably why even a slight dip in that energy production can leave people feeling foggy, fatigued, and like they can't focus.
Precisely. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Some researchers think creatine might also act as an antioxidant in the brain.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about the energy boost. It might actually be protecting those brain cells from damage, like a two-for-one deal.
Exactly. Protecting those brain cells from damage caused by these things called free radicals, which is especially relevant for conditions like ME/CFS and long COVID, where there's some evidence this type of cellular damage might be a contributing factor.
Okay, but before everyone runs out, stocks up on creatine, I'm sure our listeners are wondering, what does this all actually mean for them? Like, should they be taking it?
It's the million-dollar question, right? And here's the thing. While these findings are incredibly promising, we need more research. Larger, longer-term studies to really confirm these results, figure out the best dosages, that kind of thing.
So no one should be mega-dosing on creatine just yet?
Definitely not. If you're thinking about it, talk to your doctor first, especially if you have any underlying health conditions. But what's exciting is that these studies weren't just relying on people saying, oh yeah, I feel a bit better. They used objective measures.
Right. MRS, biopsies, cognitive tests, strength assessments. This is about using hard science to see if and how we can better support our energy systems and potentially give some relief to people dealing with these debilitating conditions.
Exactly. Because this isn't just about creatine. This is about starting to get a clearer picture of how energy metabolism plays a role in these complex, often misunderstood conditions.
And hopefully paving the way for more effective treatments down the line. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the studies, the potential benefits. But there's something we haven't addressed yet, and it's kind of hard to ignore.
You're talking about the elephant in the room. Creatine is usually associated with bodybuilders, athletes, people hitting the gym hard. So where does that leave people with chronic fatigue?
Exactly. Should people who struggle with fatigue be hitting the gym? It's a great question and one I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering about. And like a lot of things, the answer is it depends.
Because on the one hand, if creatine is helping your muscles produce energy, shouldn't you be using those muscles more? But then again,
we're talking about conditions like ME/CFS, where even minimal exertion can make symptoms way worse. So it's definitely not as simple as telling everyone to hit the gym.
Right. Pushing through it is definitely not the answer when it comes to chronic fatigue.
Exactly. This isn't about willpower. It's about respecting your body's limits, figuring out what those are, and working within them.
So where does that leave us? What should people listening do?
Well, there's growing evidence that gentle forms of exercise, things like yoga, tai chi, even just a short walk, can be beneficial for people with chronic fatigue. It's about finding that sweet spot between doing too much and not doing enough.
Which I'm guessing is different for everyone.
You got it. And this is where listening to your body is key. If you're feeling up for it, great, go for it. But if you need to rest, that's okay too. There's no shame in prioritizing your health and well-being.
I love that. Self-care isn't selfish. Especially when you're dealing with a chronic illness, it's about honoring your body's needs. And sometimes that means resting and recharging.
Absolutely. And it's also important to remember that exercise isn't just about physical health. It can do wonders for mental health too. Reducing stress, improving mood, boosting those feel-good endorphins.
Which can be so helpful for anyone, but especially for those struggling with the emotional toll that often comes with chronic illness.
Exactly. So while hitting the gym might not be the answer for everyone, incorporating some gentle movement and exercise into your routine, even just a few minutes a day, can have a really positive ripple effect on both physical and mental well-being.
It's all about finding what feels good, right? Movement shouldn't feel like a punishment.
Exactly. It's about celebrating what your body can do, even if it's just taking a few extra steps each day. Those small steps can lead to big changes, especially when it comes to chronic fatigue.
So true. Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, I do want to leave our listeners with something to ponder, something that builds on everything we've talked about today, but maybe takes it in a slightly different direction. We've talked a lot about creatine, how it might work, those study results, but it's easy to get caught up in the specifics and forget to zoom out a little.
It's true. We'd be lost in the weeds sometimes.
Right. So if creatine can have these kinds of effects on both muscles and maybe even brain function, what does that tell us about chronic fatigue in general? Conditions like MECFS, fibromyalgia, even long COVID, for a long time, they've been kind of a mystery, right?
That's putting it mildly. They've been misunderstood, misdiagnosed, often dismissed as being all in your head.
Which is incredibly frustrating and dismissive of what people go through every single day.
Exactly. But what these studies highlight and what we're starting to understand more about these conditions is that there's often a real, measurable biological basis.
It's not just being tired. There's something actually off in the body.
Precisely. It could be disruptions in how the body produces energy. It could be cellular damage, imbalances in those brain chemicals, neurotransmitters. We're still piecing it all together, but it's definitely more than just needing a good night's sleep.
Yes. It's like finally having the scientific evidence to back up what people have been saying all along, that something is wrong. And this isn't just about validating those experiences, although that's huge in itself.
It's about pushing for more research, better treatments.
Exactly. It's like these creatine studies are shining a light, maybe not on the whole picture yet, but on a path forward, one that leads towards a more nuanced and honestly, a more compassionate understanding of chronic illness.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And hopefully a path that leads to more effective treatments and a better quality of life for those who've been struggling for far too long.
Well said. Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, I do want to circle back to something we touched upon earlier, personalized medicine. Because while these studies on creatine show some promising results, we can't forget that it's not going to be a miracle cure for everyone.
Absolutely not. We talk about this all the time, but it's worth repeating. Every single person is unique. What works wonders for one person might do absolutely nothing for another.
It's about finding what works for you. And that goes for any supplement, any treatment plan, really.
It's about being an informed advocate for your own health and well-being. Don't be afraid to ask questions, do your research, and keep exploring different options until you find what helps you feel your best.
Better you're going to be at navigating these complex health challenges.
Absolutely. And on that note?
On that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive on creatine and chronic fatigue. We hope you found it insightful, thought-provoking, maybe even a little bit empowering.
And we hope you'll join us again next time for another deep dive into the world of health and wellness.
Until then, take care of yourselves, everyone.
Take care.